You're listening to Brain Bubblegum, the show you don't need, you never asked for, and with facts you didn't know you didn't need to know. Such as today's episode, when we head to McDonald's and pick up a 10-piece medium meal of crunchy golden facts, and exceed our recommended daily intake of trivia.
Awesome.
And sodium. My name is Craig Bly. Amazingly, I'm joined once again in the Brain Bubblegum podcast lounge with my long-suffering and ever-patient co-host, Simone Galuzzo.
I really am ever-suffering and long, what is it, long-lasting? No, sorry. I'm not even sure where I was going with that. Thanks so much. And
of course, Scott Stewart.
Hello. Well, not as long-lasting as the others, but I'm here.
That's not what I've heard. Yes. Welcome, fellow bubblegummers. How are you going?
Welcome. Excellent.
Wonderfully well, to be honest.
That's good. It's a lovely, beautiful day. Yeah, we've just had like a week and a half of pouring rain and floods.
Yeah, and it's just like all cleared up and it's the most glorious weather outside and we're inside doing a podcast. Yeah,
I know. And our neighbour has decided to mow his lawn.
So he could cut in and out, yes.
So yeah, you might hear the lawnmower in the background.
That's really Aussie, I'm just saying.
Just a
really
bit of background
Aussie.
Hum.
So guys, we're going to talk about McDonald's today. What's the first thing that comes to mind when you think about McDonald's?
Breakfast.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
It's what I associate with McDonald's. Burgers, breakfast menu.
Do you want fries with that? Do you want fries with that? And then people would get like rage on it and go, if I wanted fries, I'd ask for fries.
See, I'm like on the other side of that equation. It's like, I don't have to ask for them because they come with everything.
Yeah, because you're getting the meal.
Give me my fries, yeah.
Want fries with that? Yeah.
So the idea of a pimply-faced teen?
Well, I mean, I used to have like a specific thing I'd eat when I was going to Macca's when I was 14. We used to catch the train to Eastwood from, you know, Epping. And I'd get a quarter pounder, a large quarter pounder meal and an extra cheeseburger with six nuggets and...
Only six? Interesting.
Six nuggets because like I think they only had six nuggets back in those days. And sweet mustard sauce and a caramel sundae. And that's what I'd eat.
I do like the sweet mustard sauce with the nuggets. Yeah. I stand that. Yeah.
Never sweet and sour, just sweet mustard.
No, because it was all sweet. There was no sour.
Mm. Yeah, that's a whole day's calories right there.
Yeah, I think a week's worth of calories right there. I was eating it.
I remember, I don't think before I was 12, I've been to McDonald's more than about maybe five or six times. It just wasn't a thing when I was a kid. Mm. It was a special occasion thing.
It was an event. Yeah.
Yep. It was occasionally if you were going away on holidays and you're driving up the coast.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get Macca's on the way.
Yeah. My dad hated McDonald's. I'm so sorry, Macca's. But, because he was Italian and he just the flavour base just wasn't his thing. So he just would never get it. We'd have to get it when he's not around. Yeah.
They did try to introduce McSpaghetti at one point.
Oh,
and it failed miserably.
Yeah. I can't imagine why.
I think I might be able to work it out. So, guys, why the episode about McDonald's today? Well, this year represents the 50th anniversary of McDonald's in Australia.
50 years. Wow.
50th in 2021. So, 1971.
1971. Whoa. Yep.
Is that gold? Silver? Silver Jubilee?
I would say that's really old, but that's golden. Only the year before
golden?
I was born.
Is that the golden? Yeah, it's a lot. Golden, it's not paper. It's not foil.
It's Macca's.
It's Macca's.
It's the Macca's anniversary.
It's the Macca's anniversary.
Just out of curiosity, that's a long time, but the first McDonald's in the world before that was early 1950s, maybe?
Technically, it was 1937.
1937, okay. And so then it took a few decades.
1948, but the current form of McDonald's, I think, is 1952.
Well, the franchise version.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. But we'll go into that in a little bit later.
Yeah, love Macca's.
But, love it or loathe it, or just find it a highly convenient place for a McWee at 3 a.m. after a night out.
Yes. Or to drop the kids off to your ex.
Mm. Or drop the kids off at the pool. McDonald's undeniably occupies a special place in our hearts, just like the plaque on our artery walls. But I thought it'd be a fun way to start this episode to actually work out what the name McDonald means. And I thought it's probably not going to amount to anything, but I did a bit of research and it does. It's actually really interesting. So the Mc in McDonald's, of course, means like the son of, the son of Donald. Part of Irish too, not just Scottish. But Donald is an anglicised form of the Scottish Gaelic and Irish Gaelic Domnall or Domnallach.
Right.
Okay, so that's Donald.
Well, it's not as catchy, is it?
Not quite for now.
Do you want to go to McDomalex? No.
No, no, it doesn't. It's not going to take off, is it? Unless it's maybe
Scotland. Or McGillicuddy's.
I'd go to McGillicuddy's. I probably would. Heard the shakes there are good.
Irish coffee's always good.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'd go to McDonald's every day if they sold alcohol. I'm just saying.
Well, they do in a few places.
Yeah,
is that right? Why in Australia? What's going on, Australia?
Because we're Australians.
Pull your socks up.
In France, you can get a beer at McDonald's.
Oh, that's right.
But the name Domnall is made up of two words. The first one is Domno, which means the world, and Val, which means might or rule.
Well, okay.
Oh. So Donald rules the world. So I think it's a very fitting name for a mighty restaurant which rules the world.
It does rule the world.
I wonder if Domnall Gleeson knows this.
That's his name. That's
Scottish
Donald Gleeson, yeah. That's his name. So, Simone, perhaps you can tell us just how much McDonald's rules the world.
The world's largest restaurant chain by revenue. It's over 38,000 restaurants in 120 countries, and only Subway has more than 45,000 outlets. New McDonald's opens somewhere in the world every 14 hours. It's replicating at an alarming rate. They serve over 17...
Gotta stop feeding people after midnight if you're going to reproduce like that.
Honestly, they serve over 70 million customers each day, and it kind of like amounts to about 1% of the world population. In the US, more people eat at McDonald's than they go to church or synagogue. Surveys show that the Golden Arches are better known than the Christian cross, and Ronald McDonald is the second most recognized character after Santa Claus.
After Santa.
They serve 75 burgers every second and more than 5 billion burgers a year.
Oh, wow. I remember when it used to say on the sign 1 million served.
Yeah.
Oh.
How long ago was that?
And then went to 1 billion served, and now it's 5 billion a year?
A year. The meat from one cow makes 400 quarter pounders. All up, 25 million cows make the ultimate sacrifice each year for McDonald's. 25 million.
That's the population of Australia.
Year. They use over 2 billion eggs each year. Mm. That's 4% of all the eggs produced in the US. The largest purchaser of beef, pork and potatoes in the world, and the second largest of chicken. Okay, so French fries take 7.5% of America's entire potato crop. When they added smoothies to the menu, they bought 30% of the US blueberry crop.
Wow.
30% of the US. They spend $9 billion per year on cheese. Now I can get behind that.
It's American cheese, though, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. It's 100 slices of American cheese. It's the world's second largest private employer. It has 1.7 million employees behind Walmart, 2.3 million.
100,000 in Australia.
100,000 people work for McDonald's in Australia.
Just in Australia, wow. Yep.
One in eight Americans have worked at McDonald's, including celebrities such as Jeff Bezos. Is it Bezos? Bezos?
Bezos. Bezos. Amazon?
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Hamilton. Hamilton burger. No, that doesn't work.
But if it's one in eight Americans, that's still more than the population of Australia.
Yeah, well, there's lots more people, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
Jay Leno, Shania Twain, Rachel McAdams, Pink, Pharrell, is it?
Pharrell. He's happy.
He's happy. Sharon Stone, she's happier. Yeah. That aside, that all those people work at McDonald's. What I send my kids to McDonald's for is usually just to sit, hang out on my phone on the free Wi-Fi and send the kids into the playground.
Yeah.
Right? They operate more playgrounds than any other private entity in the US.
Believe it. It's all part of their marketing.
It's an attraction,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, the parents don't want to go if the kids are going to run around that restaurant incessantly screaming at the top of their lungs.
Well, you can have your McCoffee in peace while they're, you know.
Oh, yes. Happy Meals mean McDonald's is the world's largest toy distributor, about $1.5 billion per year.
Wow.
I think they could probably stop doing that, to be honest. That's just hunks of plastic.
Yeah, it's a lot of plastic waste, isn't it?
Yeah. We don't have, I can't tell you I've got a box of McDonald's plastic toys. And at the moment, I don't want any, thanks. My kids are like, Mom, you're so horrible. No.
And some of those toys are actually collectible.
They are now, but it's still just a waste. It's a hunk of plastic. Okay, since 1948, McDonald's has sold over 4 trillion fries.
Is that individual or you mean buckets of fries?
No individual fries.
I hate to be the person counting those.
Is that individual fries?
Click, 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 click.
Placed end to end, they would circle the globe 18,476 times.
Who is this good at math?
You could go to the moon and back 306 times.
Wow.
And go to Jupiter back and Jupiter, go there and then come back from Jupiter 2 times. Yeah, it's a lot of fries.
That is an interesting use of math skills, though.
For fries.
Yeah.
Your mum and dad said, what are you going to do with that master's degree in maths?
Yeah.
And then look, hold my beer. Yeah. Hold my fries.
Yeah, hold my fries.
There's a lot of fries to hold. Right. So that's amazing. That's just the numbers. That's just like what they're crunching.
It's just a phenomenal, massive entity,
yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Just take it on a life of its own.
I think that we take it, like, we just take it for granted that we just go to Macca's and there's Macca's everywhere, you know, when we go up the coast, because surely there's a Macca's soon.
Yeah, you know, only have to drive so far and you know there's going to be a Macca's.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's all deliberate. It's none of this is by accident.
No.
It's a complete deliberate strategy, as you'll see as we get through this.
And they totally won over Burger King and...
Well, or Hungry Jack's in Australia.
Hungry Jack's
Oh, yeah, sorry. We don't have Burger King here. We've got Hungry Jack's. We don't have In-N-Out Burger either.
We do have a Carl's Jr. though.
We have a Carl's Jr. up in the Central Coast.
Yeah, just one.
We don't have Chick-fil-A either. And we don't have Chipotle, which I really wish we did.
Which McDonald's used to own.
Yes, they did.
Funny.
10 obscure facts about McDonald's that we discovered. Number one.
Right.
Number one.
Number one will shock you.
So this is in honour of the 50th anniversary of McDonald's in Australia. First Australian McDonald's menu included such Aussie classics as fish and chips, chicken and chips, and fried pieces of chicken.
Fried chicken.
In addition to the regular burger.
Yeah, because they're breaking into the market and that's all we ate, fish and chips, chicken and chips.
Yeah, I went to the fish and chip shop. Didn't we? And, of course, with the pieces of chicken as well, KFC had just launched in 1968, so 9 kilometres down the road. So I think they felt they had to compete.
So
that's why they had fried chicken.
Yeah,
I remember McDonald's having fried chicken here in the boxes, and it was like orange and brown and yellow boxes. It was not
bad. That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
Not bad.
It would have been the late 80s, I remember having it. I don't know when it stopped, but probably not long after that.
Yeah, I don't know either. No.
Chicken.
As far as I know, that's it. Australia's the only place where they did that.
Really?
Like fish and chips and things like
well,
that.
I mean, you had to work to the market.
That's what they
did. We did not have sophisticated palates.
We still don't.
We still don't.
Just about to say that.
We still don't.
So 1971 was a big year for McDonald's expansion. We had the first Japanese restaurant in Tokyo. We had the first Dutch restaurant in Zaandam near Amsterdam. And the first German restaurant in Munich.
Ah.
And, of course, which was the first restaurant in the world to sell beer.
Oh, see, that's where I needed to go.
In Germany.
In Munich. You can't not sell beer in Munich, right?
Yeah.
And then on the 30th of December, the first McDonald's came along in Australia. And we opened it up in Yagoona.
Yagoona.
Is it still there, the same Macca's?
No, it's closed. It closed in 1994.
Wow, that's a good run though, eh?
It was a pretty good run, yeah. In Yagoona, which I love the word Yagoona.
Yagoona.
Like, Yagoona.
Where's your goon bag?
Yeah.
Yagoona. So that's southwest Sydney, about 20 k's from the city. I've got some photos, so you can see it here. It's all.
We'll be putting those on our website.
I'll put some links to it, yep. That's what they say in podcasts, isn't it?
Yeah.
Put it on our website. So you can see it's very familiar.
On Facebook.
Yeah. Oh, those roofs with those like big fries on them. Flashbacks, total flashbacks.
Yeah. Is that what it was, fries?
Well, it looks like a fry. I never thought about it, but now that you're saying it, I think of an architectural term. Similar to the way that Pizza Hut used to look. Mm. Yeah, with those big boxy roofs. Yeah.
Mm. Now that we look at that, we associate the shape of that with a fast food restaurant. Mm. So you pull in. Was there a Big M?
There was a Big M. Yep, I'll show you that as we go on. But but yeah, it was all designed to attract traffic from the road.
Yeah.
And it was set up on the highway system in America so that you could spot it from the road easily. So that's why it was very distinctive.
Right.
Yeah. That original restaurant closed, but it's since been replaced by almost 1,000 other restaurants in Australia. So one roughly for every 26,000 Australians.
Huge.
So we employ over 100,000 people in Australia. We feed about 2 million Australians a day.
McDonald's. 2 million a day.
Yep. That's about 8%.
Of Macca's, guys.
That is a lot.
8% of us
processed food.
Every day.
Just saying.
In Australia, about 80% of them are franchised and about 20% of them are owned by the company. And I'll get to the franchise model in one of my other facts coming through. So
factoids.
We'll listen out for that. We have the 9th highest number of outlets in the world.
Oh,
the
right.
The 9th highest. Yep.
Is it in every country?
It's in 120 countries.
Right.
Which is almost every country. Some countries have said No, like, what, there's never going to be a Macca's in North Korea.
Okay, well, that's true. I mean, I suppose that it's the symbol of American...
Possibly not.
Antarctica. Now, I know there's not one there.
Not yet.
Well, not yet, but yeah. You never know.
A McPenguin?
I'd try it. It could be a bit tough, but I...
Yeah, you got McNuggets made out
you
of
You have McPenguin. To break the McSeal on that one. I reckon they'd probably open the club for that.
Yeah.
Yep. Fries cooked in pure blubber.
Ooh.
Yum.
Mmm, delicious.
So can you guess which 8 countries have more McDonald's outlets than us?
Got to be the obvious. USA.
US, yep. That's number one.
USA. Okay, well...
Canada?
It'd have to
Canada,
be a yep. bigger country than...
Russia.
Ours?
No, we have more than Russia.
China.
China, yes, China. Definitely. Massive expansion into China.
Yeah. India.
Not yet.
Brazil.
Yes, Brazil.
Brazil.
Yep, they're number 8.
Macca's.
So how many are we missing?
One, two, three.
More.
Well, UK.
Yep, UK is one of them.
France.
Uh-huh. It's France, yep. France and Germany.
Germany,
the other
I was going to say.
France
go for the
and
big
Germany,
guns.
Yeah.
France.
Italy.
Yeah. Italy doesn't like Macca's, no, as you sort of hinted before.
It's not our flavour, mate.
McSpaghetti.
Don't McGnock it.
McGnocky.
Oh,
all right, so back to those fish and chips. So McDonald's thought that a new restaurant in Australia should include some classics that you get from the local fish and chip shop because that's how we used to eat our fast food back then in those days. So here's the menu from 1972.
Wow.
Well, okay. Burgers, a cheeseburger, a cheeseburger. You know what? Was that? Is that 20 cents?
20 cents.
For a burger?
For a burger,
whoa.
Yep.
And that's just like meat and the bun, right?
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
With
20
a bit
cents.
Of sauce. Cheeseburger. 25 cents. Deluxe burger, 25 cents. Deluxe cheeseburger was 30 cents, guys. Big Mac.
49 cents.
That was 49 cents.
Yep. Do you notice how they need to explain what French fries are?
Fries. They had to say chips.
Chips in brackets, yeah.
Oh.
Chips. Oh, my goodness.
Australians didn't know what French fries were.
You know, you get a 12-piece basket of chicken. Is that what that is?
$3.
That yeah. Wow. So, you like, when I'm looking at that, I see the coleslaw, the 12-piece basket, and the 8-piece basket, and you go, you know what? That's KFC, isn't it? Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, that 12-piece basket, the most expensive one on the menu at $3, is about $37 in today's money.
Oh, wow.
So, really expensive.
Yeah.
And so I thought, oh, some of these look really, really cheap, right? So like a Big Mac for 49 cents, a cheeseburger for 25 cents.
That's a lot of money for back then,
but yeah.
I thought I'd do some maths. And this is a first for me.
I did a math.
Were they cheaper in 1972 than today? All right, let's find out. So cheeseburger, 25 cents. In today's money, it's $2.64. A cheeseburger today on the menu is $3.65.
Right, okay.
All right. But wages have gone up, so... In 1970, the average wage was $97 a week. 1972, $97 a week. That was for men.
Yeah. Because
there's no, women didn't exist back then.
Right. No, no. So, yes. Yeah, no. Because I got genetically engineered in 75, so, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So that's the equivalent of $1,025 today. But the average weekly earnings today are $1,711. So we're going to base it on that. Right. So let's do it by percentage, though. So... In 1972, a cheeseburger was 0.26 of a weekly wage. In today, it's 0.21
of
a weekly wage. Right?
Right.
Then we've got Big Mac at 49 cents. So that's $5.17 in today's money. Today, they're $6.65 on the menu. So in 1972, that's 0.5 of a weekly wage. And in today, it's 0.4.
Yeah.
So you can see there's not much difference,
no.
right?
But when you say a Big Mac is $6.65 on its own, I think, well, that's expensive.
It does seem expensive, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's called inflation.
Yeah, it is a little expensive when you think about it.
So French fries were only 15 cents back then. Can you imagine paying 15 cents for something and getting a bag of fries?
Nope.
But that's $1.58 in today's money. They're now $2.55 on the menu. So that's 0.15 of a weekly wage in 1972.
Right.
And in 2020, 0.15%. Yeah.
It's 15 cents. So, I do remember seeing a condom machine somewhere and it was 40 cents, I think. Like two 20-cent pieces. So I'm trying to think on that scale and it's, yeah.
Well, no. I remember being sent to school with 20 cents and that would get me lunch.
Oh, really?
Yeah, when I was in kindergarten.
Oh, right.
I remember going up the servo and buying fags for mum, and they were like 40 cents for a pack.
Yeah.
The guy would like, here you go, you'd sell them to me.
Here you go, little 10-year-old Scotty.
Yeah,
here you go,
have some. Mum used to send me up to get her cigarettes. We used to live next door to the supermarket. So the guy would go, they're for your mum, aren't you? And I was like five. Yeah, they're for mum. And I'd just, you know, walk back. But yeah, you wouldn't do it now, would you?
Nope.
No,
cigarettes to a five-year-old.
All right, I'm going to finish mine up. So McDonald's Australia has a few firsts. We invented McCafe.
Oh, did you know that? And you know what? It was a good day when that happened.
I did know that. Because is that right? Australians and coffee,
cafe culture.
We're absolutely 100% spoiled for quality and choice. And McCafe's not bad.
Yeah. It's not a bad coffee, you know, when you're looking at it.
That's why Starbucks never took off in Australia. Because we had a really good coffee culture.
That's already. Right.
1993. Was the first McCafe. It's now spread to, you know, pretty much everywhere. And it's the biggest coffee shop brand now in Australia and New Zealand.
Right.
Is it?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a gap in the market.
Poor Gloria.
Gloria Jane's. Yeah.
McDonald's was the first in the world to offer home delivery via menu log.
Yes. You know, we were always like bummed out that there was never a home delivery.
Yeah.
And like I think the best thing that happened to Macca's was menu log and Uber Eats. And whatever, all the other ones, DoorDash and all that,
Deliveroo.
Yeah.
Deliveroo, that's it. I was trying to think of it.
Like my children live in a world where they can get McDonald's delivered to their door. We didn't have that. We had to actually leave the house.
You imagine how many times at like 1 a.m, been drinking all night, you're really hungry. Can someone just bring me some Macca's?
Bring me food, yeah.
Yeah. There was no internet.
Well, you've got to go to North Power or Stanmore for that.
Yeah.
We created the Create Your Taste gourmet burger service in Australia as well.
Oh, I see. I really like that too.
I don't remember this one. What, you get to make your own burger?
Yeah, I don't know if it's still around in many places. I don't see it much these days.
Well,
but it's sort of like a custom, fancy burger.
Didn't it get like introduced at the same time that the self-serve screens?
I think so, yeah.
Around about the same time? So you could go to the screen and then you're looking at all the ingredients. I think it's a lot more conducive to building your own burger when you're looking at a screen than over the counter when you go, what else can I put on it? You know, like it was just
no one wants to sit there while, you know, taking your order while you're just going through. Like,
on a brioche bun, thank you.
I have a milk bun.
Yeah, lovely.
Not too many sesame seeds. My final little bonus fact is that the Big Mac special sauce is obviously, secret sauce. Actually, it's not secret anymore, but it used to be. So McDonald's had a limited edition of 200 bottles of 500ml special sauce, and they auctioned them off. All the proceeds were going to go to charity. Some dude in Australia spent $20,000 on one.
Whoa!
On one,
one bottle. What did he reverse engineer it to find out what's in it?
You know who it was? It was the guy secrets that used to go to Macca's. Yeah, he used to get a burger, right? And he'd get his fries, and then he'd say, "And can you please put some special sauce in the lid of the sundae so he could dip his chips in the special sauce?"
I have done that.
Yeah,
it's delicious.
That's what you do if you're a real aficionado.
Well, that's it for me. Let's move on to our next fact, and that is Simone.
Okay. So the first McDonald's restaurant only sold hot dogs, guys. Blown your mind, didn't I?
Yes.
I blew your mind.
Hot dogs as in like a red Frankfurt in a bun?
Yeah, yeah. On a long bun.
What was it called?
It was not called a McDog. I'm just going to let you know. It was a McHotdog.
Was it a McHottie?
No, it was probably just a hot dog. It was probably just called a hot dog at the time.
Yep. So this was in the USA?
Yeah, in the USA. Right. Yeah, yeah. When they first opened their first restaurant before it became franchised. I'm probably going to throw my little, throw it out there.
Long before.
Yeah. So they sold whatever they sold, burgers and hot dogs and shakes. Yeah? Shakes?
No, they just sold hot dogs. It was a hot dog stand.
Hot dog stand. Not even a restaurant.
Right? They tried to reintroduce the hot dog in 1995, but it ended in failure because no one wants to eat a hot dog at Macca's.
Yeah, because I bet there were smart asses out there calling it a McDog. Sorry about it.
But you. So Patrick McDonald, the father of Dick and Mac McDonald.
Hey, look, don't laugh. My great-uncle's name was Dick and his best friend was Mac.
Okay, so they opened the first McDonald's restaurant in 1937 as a food stand on Route 66 and it only sold hot dogs. So they weren't McDoggin', they were just doggin'. That's what I'm saying.
Trying to pick myself up out of the gutter and then do that to me.
Awesome. You're usually the one who pulls us up for things like that.
I'm sorry, I'm just tired. In 1940, Dick and Mac McDonald moved the restaurant to San Bernardino, California, and rebranded it as a barbecue restaurant.
Barbecue.
Okay. Yeah, because everyone's like, let's have a barbecue. Honey, do you want to go to McDonald's and have a barbecue? That's what they were having, a barbecue. By 1948, the brothers realized that most of their profits came from burgers, so they closed down and remodeled as a burger restaurant, inventing the speedy service system, right? And they improved on the model introduced by White Castle 20 years earlier and brought industrial production line efficiency to fast food. So White Castle, it was obviously, you know, one of those places that you still go, right? They've still got a White Castle
there.
They
still exist, yeah. The first fast food restaurant was White Castle.
White Castle. And then they had this kind of production line thing. So it wasn't like the one person makes the whole burger.
Somebody makes the,
you know, slices the lettuce and somebody, you know, butters the bun, somebody toasts the bun, somebody's doing the fries, somebody's doing the. So like this whole production line thing where many people touch your burger. Yeah.
It's nice to know in the age of COVID, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't make me feel good now. So in 1954, the brothers agreed to let milkshake salesman Ray Kroc franchise McDonald's, and the rest is history. So the milkshake guy, Ray Kroc. Okay, so this was about that show you were talking about on Netflix.
Yeah, the founder.
Yeah, so he actually made it what it is today. If it wasn't for that guy with the vision of how to make a lot more and a lot better.
So that was how he found out about it, because he was selling them the milkshake machines.
He was. So he was a struggling salesman. He was going sort of, you know, back then it was sort of like
I
the
feel
car
like
hops.
That is like the story of the American father at times, the story of the struggling door-to-door salesman.
It really is, yeah. Like
Arthur Miller.
Arthur Miller, selling encyclopedias or whatever. What did he do?
Or steak knives or something.
Death of a salesman.
That's the one. I was trying to think of it. But yeah, he was not very successful, but then he got an order from McDonald's for five of these milkshake machines. And these milkshake machines made five milkshakes at a time.
Wow.
And he's like, who the hell is making 25 milkshakes at a time?
Wow.
And then he called them up and he said, there must be some mistake with the order. And he said, actually, I think we need eight.
Yes.
And he's like, I've got to see this
place. That's the best money he's ever made in his life, his life at that very second.
And if nobody else was doing it at the time, of course, that kind of order would have stuck out.
Ray Kroc chinged his little heart out.
He flew from near Chicago to, California.
Yeah.
And he got a tour of the first McDonald's, and he's like, this is incredible.
Yeah. And he offered to the franchise. You should put this everywhere.
And he did.
Wow.
Wow.
In his 1977 autobiography, Ray Kroc singled out hot dogs as the one food that McDonald's would never introduce. He said, there's damn good reason we should never sell hot dogs. There's no telling what's inside a hot dog skin, and our standard of quality just wouldn't permit that kind of item. Mm,
it's good to have standards.
Yeah, but then when he died in 1994, McDonald's brought out the McHot Dog in 1995. He must have had it in his claws, you know.
Yep. Yeah. Over my dead body.
Yep.
Over it. Yeah. And what do you think was in the first hot dogs? Bit of Ray. Little bit of Ray. No, that's not true. Just his soul. Yeah, they sold
Paul. That got real dark.
So they should have listened to him, because the McHot Dog never caught on. Failed. But there are some places that still sell it, like, you know, McDonald's that are close to baseball fields and things like that, that, you know, go hand in hand with the culture of American food. So, and it's on the breakfast menu in Japan. If you want a hot dog for breakfast in Japan, you can get one in Japan for breakfast.
Braggy dogs.
It's a hard no from me, thanks.
It's a hard no.
Going from such, you know, economies of scale, I thought I'd go a little lower key. Now, in Hong Kong, in McDonald's, they will cater your wedding.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
Complete with an MC.
I love that.
You get different packages to choose from with different things in each one, of course. So from Australian money, about $5.67 through to $18.90.
That's cheap.
Yeah,
that's a cheap wedding.
That's what I think. And you get different things, like different kinds of invitations. You only get 2 hours of decorated McDonald's restaurant. So I think that's a little time poor myself for a reception.
But then again, is there alcohol? So,
well,
are the wedding favors in those little boxes?
Yes. You can get party gifts in McDonald's cups.
Oh, my gosh.
And The guests get gifts, which are McDonald Land figurines. For the right couple, for the right audience, I think this is just genius. Someone would just see it and go, that's it, I'm sold. I am McLovin' it.
Yeah, that's right. If I had it over again, I'd do an $1,800 wedding.
Well, yeah.
Hell yeah. I mean, if you can get married by Elvis in Vegas.
Which I know some people that were, believe it or not.
I do too.
There you go.
I think they're the same people.
It's a thing. It's a pilgrimage.
I asked my husband to marry me in Vegas instead of having the big wedding, and he said no. Wow.
Oh, I was just about to say, you're living the dream.
I just really wanted to. He said no. I was a little devoed.
I don't understand that word. You also get a bridal balloon bouquet.
Oh, I love that.
Bridal balloon bouquet.
So it they're getting married in Macca's. Hang on a second. Are they getting married in Macca's or they have a hall?
It's in Macca's.
Yeah.
It's in a Macca's.
Oh, that's balloon beautiful.
A pair of McDonald's balloon wedding rings.
Oh, I think we've just reached peak human race now.
I thought they'd thought of everything, but then, are you ready for this? Have a guess what the wedding cake is made out of. What desserts do they sell at Macca's in Australia?
Australia. Choco pies, right?
also known as apple pies.
So is that what it is?
Yeah.
I've heard the rumour. Yep.
So the wedding cake is like a gigantic croquembouche, but of apple pies. Look at that.
A croquembouche of pies. Yeah. Oh, wow, that is amazing. I love that.
Look at the ring.
They look so happy. Oh,
the I'd balloon be happy ring.
Too. The balloon rings are great.
Wow. That sounds like a croquembouche. It's not.
You're welcome.
You know, I was just.
a Ray croquembouche?
A Ray croquembouche.
Keep them in their packages, so it's like it cuts down on service time. So when you want a piece of cake, you just go up and pick up your apple pie. You're
just
done.
Yeah. Just not one from the bottom.
Yeah.
Because it'll come down like Jenga.
But, you know, we all need, like, the sundae to go with it. You're not just eating the pie like a psychopath. You're dipping it in your in your sundae, aren't you?
I've never done that.
You've never eaten?
I've never thought to do that.
I don't dip my chips in my sundae either. No,
that's crazy town.
No,
People do it, and it's not right. Yeah. They're the people that like to go sweet with savoury. I just like going sweet with sweet.
It's sweet.
Savoury
it's salty.
Savoury.
Get into it. I'm like, no.
No, no thanks.
No. Right. It's kind of camp and kitsch at the same time. I like it. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I think I'd get married.
Well,
again
it's, you know, not Macca's. For me because, you know, not married. But hey.
Well, I mean, if you're going to get married, you can have it at Macca's.
I'd consider it, yeah.
Yeah. I know a 90-year-old woman who had her party at Macca's. Yeah. She'd never had a McDonald's party, and they said, what do you want to do for your party? She goes, can we go to McDonald's? So they took her and her friends to McDonald's, and the girl who was running the party said, at this point, we usually do games on the floor. And they said, no, probably shouldn't put them on the floor. We'll never get them up again. But they had a lovely time.
I never had a McDonald's birthday either, actually.
No, we didn't either. But we went to a few.
Now they cater for adults.
Only the really cool kids had the McDonald's parties when I was a kid.
Oh, did they ever?
Yeah, they were cool
McDonald's
kids.
Ice cream cake.
You remember that, right? The McDonald's ice cream cake. Mm. Oh, I love that.
As far as I know, it's just Hong Kong that does this. They haven't expanded into other markets yet.
I can see them doing it in Japan, though.
That's totally the level of kitsch that the Japanese absolutely love, right?
Whoops.
Absolutely.
It's Craig dropping his iPad.
I think it's kitsch in a great way.
Yeah, no, I love kitsch. Kitsch is a great thing. I think that's beautiful. I think that's a celebration. Kitsch is a celebration.
Where did you get married?
Pop culture.
McDonald's. People will be like, oh, well, I love McDonald's. Now I love them even more. But speaking of overseas McDonald's, there's a couple of random points I would like to share.
Please do.
Go.
So we have 24-hour and drive-through McDonald's here in Australia.
Australia.
In Sweden, in Lindvalen, they actually have a ski-through McDonald's.
Oh, what?
Yes.
They're just showing off now.
Which, I know this is a stretch, is called the McSki.
Oh, no.
God.
I would not be dexterous enough to ski hold Macca's
at
the same time.
No, but it'd be funny to watch.
Yeah, it's like you'd be waddling on your skis.
It's like that road of death in wherever you bloody winter. I feel like that you would try it. I mean, today I'm going to try skiing through McDonald's.
Ski through, yeah.
And your wife would be like, Craig, you're going to probably die. You'd be like, no, I'm going to do it two times.
And I'm going to get hot coffee.
And then just watch you flying through the air.
I just like that kind of adaptability, though. It's like, we're in a ski resort, 200 k's north of Sweden, you know, close to the Arctic Circle.
Yeah.
let's put a ski through in.
You Why know? Not?
Let's sell chicken in Australia.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, is there any like instances where like McDonald's sold things that were appropriate to that country, like stuff that we would never?
Oh.
You getting there?
Oh, I've got a couple of points right here ready to go.
Ready to go.
Yes. But also there is a location for in Baghdad for the US Army, but in Iraq they only have a knockoff franchise called McDonald.
Oh,
McDonald.
But McDowell's.
Yeah.
And you can see it looks exactly the same.
It's pretty much exactly the same.
Oh, I love that.
Mm. Yeah, that's Iraq. But in Iran, McDonald's is banned, but they have their own franchise called McDonald's.
Where's like that?
That's Iran.
Iran, McDonald's.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that interesting?
Oh, my God.
And it's pretty. Is that the font is identical.
It's a pizza hat.
Pizza hat.
Oh, you got to love a good pizza hat.
Oh, that just reminds me of Red Rooster in Australia. What would you mean? Call him Red Rooter. You know?
Oh, yeah. If and just as a sidebar, Red Rooter is probably my all-time favorite.
Oh, yeah. Warm chicken roll. Oh, couldn't get past
rooster
it.
Roll. It's a rooster. Warm rooster roll.
Mm. Ooh, loving it.
So overseas menu options. In McDonald's in India, beef isn't available. They have the Maharaja Mac, which is an all-lamb version of a Big Mac.
I think I want it.
Oh, yeah. I started that sentence and I wanted it.
Yeah. Delicious.
All lamb. In several countries, they serve soup on the menu, particularly in some Asian countries. In New Zealand, they sell pies. In Greece, they have tzatziki sauce.
Oh, I want Oh, delicious.
And they put it in pita bread.
Oh, that sounds so good. I know.
Indonesia has McRice. I mean, it's just also
delicious.
I feel
like you could base traveling the world on just visiting McDonald's.
On McDonald's, mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. I know in the UK, I think they sell like baked beans and gravy.
Really?
Yeah. Singapore and Japan have the Ebi burger, which is prawn. My personal favorite, which I really, really want to try, is South Korea. They have the bulgogi burger.
Oh, yum.
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 And I love Korean food. I love bulgogi. It's like marinated, shredded beef.
You can buy it at Costco. Did you know that? The bulgogi?
Well, I just buy it from the Korean butcher in North Parramatta.
Oh, so delicious. Already marinated?
Already marinated.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing.
It's amazing. In Italy, at McDonald's, they sell something called the chocolate salami.
What?
Not what you're thinking, people.
Hell?
Come on.
Oh, Italy lets me down again.
Can we just elevate your way of thinking for a second?
What the heck?
Because it's actually crushed up biscuits thrown into molten chocolate.
Yum.
Melted.
Molten. Oh, it's a hedgehog.
Yeah.
That's a hedgehog.
Chocolate salami, though.
Stop it.
I know. And maybe my favourite little factoid about overseas menu items. In Australia, we have the big brekkie burger.
We do, yeah.
Yeah. But nowhere else in the world. That's what I didn't know.
That's stacks on, right?
That is the gigantic one that's like sausage, hash brown, eggs, bacon, all in one of those big buns. Like it is a mouthful.
Yeah.
That's a hangover cure.
It absolutely is. You're spot on.
Yeah.
That's why it's in Australia.
Yeah.
Australia, mate. Australia. I don't like sausage McMuffins.
No, I'm not a
fan. I'm just not a big fan.
Not by themselves, but with a bit of egg or bacon. I don't mind. The sausage is a little spicy.
I don't go the sausage, but I just smash an egg bacon.
Mm, yeah. Well, I could go on and on and on and on, you know. Yeah. Also known as a group for compulsive talkers.
On and on.
Oh, you like that one?
Caught me by surprise.
Because, hello, food.
That's so good. Lawyers representing McDonald's deliberately misrepresented the hot coffee in the lap lawsuit.
Is this the she was a rather elderly woman?
Yep.
I have heard about this, but I'm still trying to,
and she
like,
dropped coffee on herself?
No. She did, and she sued McDonald's for millions of dollars.
She won, didn't she?
She did. She did win.
But she didn't get all the money.
She didn't. The popular telling of this story goes like this. So this woman spilled McDonald's coffee on herself while she was driving. She had the coffee between her legs when it spilled.
That's illegal.
Being greedy, apparently, she tried to sue McDonald's for millions of dollars, despite the fact that McDonald's coffee is the hot by definition.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was called out to say, you know, she frivolous lawsuits.
But she won, right?
But she won. Yeah, she won. Mm. And there's a very good reason for it. So what you probably don't know is that lawyers from McDonald's carefully cultivated this version of events to sort of say that, you know, we're going to shut down frivolous lawsuits. But this lawsuit was anything but frivolous. It was actually a very legitimate lawsuit. But the gullible media sort of ate it up and portrayed this woman as this greedy person.
Yeah, they really...
People are so litigious nowadays.
Exactly, yes. And so, yeah, the lawyers basically crafted this story. The truth of the matter is that it's 1992, 79-year-old woman Stella Liebeck. She ordered coffee from McDonald's in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Her grandson had driven her there, pulled up to sort of put the coffee between her legs to get some milk and sugar into it. She was just sort of holding it steady pulled the lid off.
Mm.
When she pulled the lid off, it spilled. So, yeah, she fully admits it was her own fault. She said, I spilled coffee on myself. You know, it's not McDonald's fault.
Especially if it's black coffee, because then it's got no milk to cool it down.
Well, that's right. It was still black coffee by that stage. Yeah. But the coffee was so ridiculously hot. It was 190 degrees Fahrenheit, which is 88 degrees Celsius.
Right.
And
too much.
To give you a reference, like the average flat white you get, it's about 58 degrees Celsius or 136 degrees Fahrenheit.
Doesn't need to be that hot.
But she suffered third-degree burns on her legs and genitals, like 16% of her body.
I think that's probably not a frivolous lawsuit. I think in that case.
Not at all.
It does not sound like one.
And at 88 degrees Celsius, it only takes about 2 to 7 seconds to get third-degree burns.
Yeah.
And third-degree burns is where it goes right through the skin. And you can only fix it with skin grafts and years and years of rehabilitation.
Yeah.
So that's why she asked McDonald's. She said, "Can you please cover my medical costs?"
Yeah, because over in America, you're paying a lot of money. Yeah,
loads. And so 1992 even, $20,000. She was in hospital for a week. She had to get all this expensive, skin grafts and surgery and stuff like that. And she just said to McDonald's, can you please reimburse me? Because
I can't afford it. No.
It took them about 6 months
and
they came back with a counter offer and they said, we can give you $800.
Oh, what? Ah, they could probably afford to just pay for that. But anyway, you can see where they say if we pay this woman out now, it opens the floodgates.
Yeah. Exactly.
For a whole, flurry of frivolous lawsuits.
A McFlurry.
An absolute McFlurry.
That's very clever.
Of lawsuits.
It actually blew up in their faces. So this woman was left with no other recourse except for a lawsuit. So it came out in the trial that when the jury heard the evidence, they said that the temperature of McDonald's coffee was so irresponsible.
Yeah.
That temperature that she should get much more than $20,000.
Yeah.
And so they said what a fair thing to do would be, what's 2 days' worth of coffee profits for McDonald's?
Oh, that's a lot of money, though. They didn't realize. Yeah.
$2.7 million.
Wow.
And so that's what they did. That's what the jury said.
And so, she didn't get that money.
She didn't get the money. So it went backwards and forwards quite a few times. And she took an undisclosed sum, less than $600,000.
Well, it was still better than the,
But it still would have covered her medical bills.
Yeah.
100%.
That's what I remember hearing. Besides that, covers the medical bills, but she's still scarred for life.
And skin grafts. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of time, a lot of pain.
Yeah.
She actually nearly died. She nearly died from the shock.
Because I remember it being a big deal that she won the lawsuit, but then there was a lot of to and froing over the money.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
yeah.
You know, one entity has many, many lawyers and the other one doesn't. So one can tie up one person in court for, an indeterminable amount of time.
Yes, they can.
Yes. Yeah. Just keep kicking the can down the street.
Yeah. Now I want to watch Aaron Brockovich.
Yes. God, I love that movie.
Love a good David and Goliath tale.
Yeah, and that's exactly what this was. But it came out in the trial that McDonald's knew how dangerous their coffee was. In the previous 10 years, they had 700 complaints about it.
Right.
About people burning themselves.
They're not listening.
So, but the most important thing that came out of this was McDonald's reduced the temperature of their coffee.
Yeah.
Mm. So,
well, they'd have to do it, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why complaints are good. It's a whole feedback system, really.
So it turns out instead of a villain, she was actually a hero.
Yeah.
She potentially saved a lot more people from that pain.
I mean, that's not just like a little red rash from a burn. Like skin graft is fucking serious.
It's taking all your skin off.
Yeah.
Pardon my Australian.
Yeah, especially on your bits. Righty, so my facts are about Ronald McDonald. We all love Ronald McDonald. I mean, we've all had photos with the statue of Ronald McDonald outside of the Macca's. There's usually one there.
Yeah.
And we're all, like a lot of us kind of remember, I think, what are we? We're Generation X's that, we remember probably the clown, an actual clown in McDonald's.
Yeah.
But did you know that the original Ronald McDonald was sacked because of his weight?
Wow.
Yeah. So the first bit of history about Ronald McDonald, it's in the early 1960s, a Washington, D.C. McDonald sponsored the popular NBC TV show Bozo's Circus. So thus the idea of the clown comes in. Bozo the clown, right?
Bozo the clown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the franchise owner, Oscar Goldstein, often had Bozo the clown make an appearance at his McDonald's restaurants to huge crowds because Bozo the clown was like the guy, right?
Attracts the kids.
Yeah. Unfortunately, NBC cancelled Bozo's Circus in 1963, so Goldstein had to think of a new mascot to bring the kids in. So he met up with former star Willard Scott to create a new clown for his franchise.
Thus Ronald was born?
Yeah, thus Ronald. So Willard Scott had a costume made by a marketing company, created the name Ronald McDonald. Okay.
Oh, it rhymes.
And started appearing once again at Goldstein's restaurant. So Scott appeared in three local TV commercials as Ronald McDonald, the hamburger happy clown. Oh, Jesus. He's hamburger happy, everyone. And Ray Kroc, we all know Ray Kroc, he loved the idea and wanted the rest of America to meet Ronald McDonald, but not in his currently slightly corpulent, or say portly.
Corpulent.
Right?
He's, Rubenesque.
Yeah, Rubenesque. He had a bit of back going on. It's not a good look to sell unhealthy food to the American people if, you know, with a mascot that looks like he's made his way through the menu a few times.
Oh, right. So define irony, right?
Right, yeah.
So he was sacked because they thought his appearance would promote the fact that fast food is unhealthy?
Yeah.
Hello, welcome to the new Manalium.
Yeah, Manalium.
And
yeah, there's a few photos that we're going to put up, but I'm just going to show you a few photos of the original Ronald McDonald.
Yeah, they're slightly terrifying.
Actually terrifying.
Yeah.
I don't.
The stuff of nightmares.
Yeah, I don't normally see Ronald like that, except, you know, when he's handing out those red balloons from the sewer grate.
Hey, Georgie.
Yeah.
What a
float. It's just clowns are terrifying. The end.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll put some we'll put some photos on Facebook and on our website.
It's actually the box worth on his head.
Nope. Oh, and he's got a cup on his nose and his smile actually takes up his entire face.
Yeah.
And I think that's really off-putting.
It's a hard no.
All you can see is the red smile. And actually, he reminds me of, you know, that serial killer that dressed up as the clown?
Gacy.
Is it John Wayne Gacy?
John Wayne Gacy.
Yeah. He would go to birth. Yeah.
I mean, guys, the idea that somebody covers their face up with another face really freaks me out anyway.
Do you know you copyright your face as a clown by just taking a photo of it, and that's a copyright?
So if you...
You register it.
So you put makeup on your face and that's the face that you do. If another person does that particular design and looks like
breach
you...
Breach of copyright.
Breach of copyright.
Wow.
Oh, that is...
What if you get bored and want to change your makeup? Going to take out a new copyright?
Yeah.
I think you do.
Okay, so McDonald's revamped the character for national launch in 1966 with circus performer Coco the Clown, real name Michael Polakovs, with the now familiar costume and makeup. So the stripes,
right.
So the zip-up outfit,
the jumpsuit,
the big M, but it's actually terrifying stuff.
He went on to do a few other things as well, didn't he? The original
Willard Scott. Willard Scott? I thought I understood. Yes. I know that name from somewhere.
He was the weatherman on the NBC TV show with Katie Couric and Brian Gumbel.
It's like Willard Scott.
Willard Scott.
Was he an old bloke?
Rotund. Portly.
Oh, well. Yes. Yeah. He had to go somewhere
He was after that. A husky gentleman.
Yeah. Mm. The Ronald McDonald campaign was a massive success and the business actually basically hinged. A lot of people understand the brand and associate Ronald McDonald with the brand. And, I mean, I associate Ronald McDonald and then all of the little sub-characters that were born around
the
that.
The McDonaldland characters.
The McDonaldland characters. So, like, I don't know.
What was Grimace?
Hamburg,
was he a dinosaur?
Like, around. Grimace? Who knows?
He was like
a
monster. Barney the dinosaur. He was like
I
a big purple
thing. I feel like it came
thing.
Out at the same time as a lot of characters from Sesame Street.
Well, you know what? It was a direct rip-off of H.R. Puff and Stuff.
That's what it was, right.
Right. Yeah.
And
here's
they were
your
sued.
Brand when things get
they
rough.
They were sued.
Puff and Stuff. Sorry.
Right.
McDonald's had to pay the creators of H.R. Puff and Stuff $1 million. Because Mayor McCheese was a direct rip-off of H.R. Puff and Stuff.
Right.
Because H.R. Puff and Stuff was also a mayor. But, yeah, you look at photos of them and they look the same.
I wonder if Hamburglar was a rip-off of Witchy Poo.
Oh, that was the bad guy. You know what? Yeah, the Hamburglar who had the stripes on.
Yep.
You know what? When I was a little girl sitting in Macca's eating me hamburger, worried that Hamburglar was going to steal it.
Hamburglar grimace.
I had my hand on that the whole time. I was like, no one's going to steal my burger. So Willard Scott's still alive, guys. He's 87 years old now.
Oh, good on him.
At its height, McDonald's hired as many as 300 full-time clowns to play Ronald McDonald. In China, since Ronald McDonald is an adult, children call him Uncle McDonald. In Japan, Ronald McDonald is called Donald McDonald due to a lack of the clear R sound in Japanese enunciation. So he'd be Donarudo McDonarudo. What is this? Is this real, Craig? Did you set me up for this?
Donarudo McDonarudo.
Sis, stitched up, mate. Stitched up.
Stitch this.
Stitched up.
Okay, well, speaking of pop culture yet again, in Singapore this time, in a McDonald's, there was a Hello Kitty promotion that caused a riot.
Oh, yes. I can see why.
They love their Hello Kitty.
Hello Kitty. Oh, they love Hello Kitty
don't
too.
Don't fuck with it, you know. Don't.
Just. Hello Kitty's too innocent to drop the F-bomb.
Yeah.
Hello Kitty. I did it. Fight me.
They actually had to, like, beef up their security because of it. So yeah. 113 restaurants, 7 people were injured.
Yeah.
Just while trying to get hold of the promotional dolls. Yeah. A giveaway with a meal, like limited edition ones.
Don't underestimate how vicious children can be.
Oh, no.
Parents. The adults is the adults.
These were the parents. Yes. Adults. Yeah.
Cabbage Patch Kids fighting. You know, like people used to fight over the Cabbage Patch Kids and the parents used to get into punch-ups.
Yeah. They'd want to read the birth certificates for the names first or something,
that's
right?
That's madness.
Well, they shattered a plate glass door. 3 people had to be taken to hospital. This is New Year's Day 2000 when the promotion was launched. A doctor and a truck driver got into a fist fight over the dolls. That's my Hello Kitty doll.
You think of a truck driver. That's my Hello Kitty.
It's my Hello Kitty doll.
I'll end you.
Oh, and that's really poor behaviour over a doll, but I'm just saying.
They were based on the Japanese cartoon characters and dressed in wedding outfits, like the dolls.
God, and we want it.
They were so in demand that they couldn't meet it, so, which is partly why people were getting a bit cranky, because they weren't getting their free shit. So
realise how incredibly popular.
Yeah. So they limited the number of hamburgers that each customer could buy to try and prevent further incidents. So police actually had to help the flow of people at the more crowded restaurants.
That's madness.
Yeah. Actually, Hello Kitty is one of my favorite runways on Drag Race. Hello Kitty actually did a guest spot and all the competitors had to make a Hello Kitty inspired couture.
And wow, was it amazing?
It was so much fun.
So this is the real Hello Kitty company.
Yeah, endorsed. Hello Kitty was there. They had a representative and everything. And my favorite one, of course, was the one that got booted off for that episode because she did Hello Kitty re-envisioned as a Russian transvestite bisexual hooker. And Hello Kitty is a good girl. But she had like the little red scarf and the little, it was great. Anyway, sidebar. Hello Kitty.
I think I remember seeing something like that when I was in Russia.
Sounds a little Hello Shitty to me.
It's awful. So just as an aside, Thai police officers who break their own rules are forced to wear hot pink armbands featuring Hello Kitty as a mark of shame.
Oh.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be ashamed wearing Hello Kitty.
No, well, but you're a brony. So.
Yeah.
Isn't that what you are, Craig? Aren't you a brony?
Look, I can appreciate
a guy that's into My Little Pony.
Is that what they're called?
I appreciate My Little Pony. It's got a lot of humour. It's very funny.
Are bronies, are they like, you know, a sidebar to broners?
I don't know what that is. No, okay, don't wink at me. No.
A broner?
No.
It's like a boner from a bro.
Oh, Jesus.
Never heard the word broner.
Oh, good Lord, no.
Yeah. No. It's not intentional. No. You just, you know, there's just a little bit of horseplay, a little bit of rubber toe, a little bit of argy-bargy, and all of a sudden you got a broner. Oh, sorry, bro. He's laughing because he knows what I'm talking about.
I could live the rest of my life and not know that.
None of us needed to know
now
that.
Now you don't have to.
We need to wash our ears out now. We're all the poorer for it, just spiritually poorer for it, for knowing that.
Innocent Turkish wrestling.
Stop it.
Do not get me started on Turkish wrestling.
Stop it.
Yeah, and besides, a broner is not a contact
sport.
You're
going to stage a walkout and then it'll be nice and quiet after that, won't it?
That's just like, look what you've got. Although you don't want to point and laugh like I just did. Anyway, here's a, just a little aside to uplift you. According to the company that created her, Hello Kitty is not a cat, okay? She is a human. Hello Kitty is a cheerful and happy little girl with a heart of gold. Brand owner Sanrio says on its website. There you go.
Oh, I love that.
Heart of gold.
Hello Kitty.
But then the people say, but she's got whiskers and her name's Kitty.
Yeah. But so she
walks
upright.
She was in cosplay, really. Like, she was one of the first cosplayers, right?
Harajuku kids.
Yeah.
McDonald's does not make most of its money by selling food.
What are they? What?
Oh, I could have. I could have a guess.
Yeah, have a guess.
Oh, sponsorship.
No.
I think it would be either one of two things.
Yep.
It would either be advertising or the fact that they're a landlord.
That's the one. Oh, you've hit it.
Okay, so there's a franchise, and people buy a franchise, and then they pay rent. Mm.
That's right. Yep. Yeah. So any McDonald's restaurant that's franchised, McDonald's owns the land.
Yeah.
Right. Okay.
So McDonald's pays. So the
franchise fees and rent.
Franchise fees, rent, and 4% of gross sales.
Four percent is a lot.
That's why McDonald's is so wealthy.
Oh, not even Blockbuster used to charge that much in their franchise.
Oh, Blockbuster.
Is Blockbuster around now?
No, they are not.
No, it is not.
No, you guys still are unemployed after working at Blockbuster? You worked at
Video Sleazy.
And you worked at
Cockbuster. Blockbuster.
And you're still looking for work today.
Pretty much.
That's why we do this podcast. Throw us a $2 coin, copper.
Throw me a bone here.
Okay.
McDonald's own the largest amount of retail property in the world.
I don't think every company works like that, though. Like, if you're franchising out your brand, you're not always... You would leave it up to the franchisee to sometimes find a property and the rent is on them.
Do you reckon?
And they're just... Yeah, a lot... Mm. Not always, but a lot.
Well, that's how McDonald's started. And then it was... The CFO came in, Harry S. Sonnenborn. Mm. He was the one who had the idea of actually buying the property and getting rent. And he actually said in... I think it was in the 50s, he said... He told investors, we're basically not in the food business. We're in the real estate business.
Yeah.
The only reason we sell 15-cent hamburgers is because they are the greatest producer of revenue from which our tenants can pay us rent.
Right.
Right, yeah. It's actually supremely clever, I think.
It's genius.
Everybody wants this brand. Everybody wants this food. So if we provide the space, if we build it...
They will come. But it takes the risk away from McDonald's as well. Yeah. So I think only about 5% of McDonald's restaurants are actually owned directly by the company and 95% are franchised. So they're getting a lot of money. They're collecting a lot of rent. So they're run by everyday people, basically, who have a contract to run the restaurant. And by paying rent as well, McDonald's have so much control over them. They're basically saying, you know, if you don't hit our standards, we'll kick you out.
You're out.
We'll evict you.
Yeah, which is a lot of the case with a lot of franchisees,
Yeah. Basically, all McDonald's do is pay the real estate. The franchisee pays for everything else.
Yeah.
So it's a clever business model.
They've got to pay labor. They've got to pay insurance. They've got to pay for product.
Well, it's a business.
Exactly.
It's a corporation. Yeah.
So in 2014, the company made $27.4 billion in revenue, of which $9.2 billion came from the franchise locations. And you think that's not a lot. But then they got $18.2 million from the company-owned locations, right, which seems like a lot for that. Sort of 5%. However, so factoring in total costs to run each location, McDonald's kept only 16% of the revenue from the company-owned restaurants. However, with the franchise restaurants, they took 82%.
Yeah. That's why they don't own them. You know, they don't want to take on that risk, how much you're putting out as to how much is getting dragged in. You know, they're just making money.
Yeah.
They're just making money on it.
And so that was, I think, my shortest segment that I've ever done.
That's amazing. I'm so proud of you.
It had a big impact, though. That's a lot of money.
That when I found that out, that blew my mind.
McDonald's hamburgers and french fries don't decay, but then nor do any other burgers and fries. So, you know, that whole idea where people go, I've had this cheeseburger and I bought it in 1982, and I haven't, it's exactly the same today. And then it kind of, it builds on the idea or the myth, I'm not sure, that it's a chemical-based food that has so many preservatives that how could that be good to put in your body because, you know, it doesn't decay like normal food.
Isn't everything made of chemicals?
Well,
technically, you're right.
It desiccates before it rots.
So it dries out before it rots.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So have you come across this myth? Well, except it's not really a myth at all. It's true. So McDonald's burgers and fries left to their own devices for many years look eerily like you just bought them. They don't seem to rot or grow any mold. Like it. Oh, you don't eat them. Don't eat it. That's forbidden fruit.
Das ist verboten.
Verboten food. Es ist verboten. So plenty of people like to point fingers and say McDonald's isn't a real food, la la la. But really, lots of other things do the same thing. Like meat dries out like that.
Margarine.
Desiccates, does it? Doesn't, just doesn't do anything.
You could leave it in your backyard for months and then it's good to go. It's yeah.
Oh, the sugar content as well stops it from doing anything.
Yeah, the bacteria can't eat that much sugar.
Yeah. Mm. So this lady, she had this, you know, in 2008, she shared a photo of a 12-year-old burger and it looked like she just bought it. And, you know, they said that she called it a chemical food and all that. But the actual science says that most burgers won't rot in dry air because they dry out before bacteria can take hold, like beef jerky or croutons. And actually, that makes a lot of sense. Mm. You know, when you leave your bread out and it just...
just goes hard.
Yeah, but if you have it wrapped up in plastic and it's sealed, it would probably...
gets mold.
Right, yeah.
Gets moldy, yeah. Yeah.
But if it's, you know, just wrapped in that little bit of paper, I mean, that's not going
to
keep...
Well, if it's left out to dry, I think it's less likely to get the mold. The mold needs the moisture.
Yeah.
Mm.
A food scientist debunked the claim in 2016 by creating a completely homemade chemical-free burger and it dried out just like the McDonald's burgers did. So, I mean, really, that's just... proving that it's not about always the chemicals and the amount of preservatives and all that. Larger burgers like quarter pounders do show signs of rot. I mean, I suppose because they're thicker.
That's a lot of meat there.
It takes a little while chunkier. For that, especially if it's not being dried out with a drying, like a heat, like, you know, a dehydrator uses like low heat. If it's just air temperature, like whatever it is, ambient temperature, it's not. Don't eat it. Like, don't, this is a disclaimer for all you people who are going to get a cheeseburger and sit it on your shelf for 12 months and then have a bite.
Yeah, who's got the patience for that?
I feel like that's like...
if you're buying it, you're eating it, I say.
Oh, no. Mm-hmm. There are actually loads, this is the bonus facts, so there are actually loads of chemicals and preservatives in McDonald's food. I feel like we can get sued for that, Craig, just letting you know that.
All fact checked.
A US Big Mac has 54 ingredients. Mostly chemicals. A McRib has about 70 ingredients, and it's not all rib and Mc. So they're all safe for consumption, obviously.
Yeah. When people hear chemicals, though, they think scary, scary. Yeah, people just don't understand it.
Yeah. Technically, water is a chemical.
Exactly. You know, when I was growing up, the biggest myth, the sundaes were made out of pig fat.
Yeah, or the shakes.
The shakes were made out of pig fat, and that's how they kept...
like, yeah, you know what? I don't care. They taste good.
And then the other one was that the apple pies were made out of Chocos.
Yeah, I've heard that one.
That's weird because I don't think that Americans are using Chocos. So the Morgan Spurlock documentary Supersize Me showed McDonald's burgers decomposing as you would expect. Right?
Yeah, because he had them under like a bell jar. So he had them sealed. He didn't have them. Yeah, so there's moisture retained.
Right.
Okay. So when you do that, they do rot like every other burger.
Like normal. The fries, however, did not. The process of creating a French fry replaces water from the potatoes with fat. Without water, there's no decomposition. So if the inside of that fry, there's no actual H2O. It's just been like, it's like dehydrated or rehydrated with fat. Or maybe like they take, it's, anyway. Ugh. The last McDonald's burger in Iceland was sold in 2009, but you can still see it decomposing.
Online, I did hear about that. Oh.
There it is.
Wow.
That looks delicious. Forbidden food.
Still looks pretty good.
Forbidden donuts.
So
is there no longer a McDonald's in Iceland? Is that why that was the last one ever sold? Or?
Yeah, 2009 they got out of Iceland.
Oh. Why?
Because it was just too expensive.
Right. Just couldn't get there.
Well, there's not many of them.
With their dolphin burgers.
I wonder what they're like.
I'm probably going to say they didn't have any.
McBlowhole.
Yeah, I know.
That's a whale burger.
Is it? Yeah.
A McFlip.
A McFlipper.
A McFlipper.
Do you know they eat seal flippers in Newfoundland, in Canada?
Okay.
You can buy them in the shops.
Delicious.
In the shops. Oh.
Well,
you can get a coat of arms pizza in Stanmore that's got emu and kangaroo on it.
That's right, you can too. Mm. At the Australian Hotel as well. The McDonald's golden arches may actually represent a pair of breasts.
Ooh. I always thought they were golden bum cheeks.
Bear with me here.
Mm.
bear with me.
Bear
I'll explain.
With me. Is that, did you mean that? Is that you making a pun? You feeling punny, bro?
Usually bear I am. I'm not in this case.
I'm not abreast with this situation, so. Yeah.
Is this just so we get to say McBoobies?
Look, I'm not going to make a boob of myself.
Oh, I think you already have.
Boy. Let me start from the beginning. In 1952, Dick McDonald's, so our founder, Dick McDonald's, wanted to redesign the restaurant to make it unique and eye-catching from the right. Mm-hmm. So that's the whole idea. We talked about that at the start, like a really distinctive thing. So he worked with the architect Stanley Clark Metzen to build golden arches into his structure of the restaurant.
Right.
So here you can see what the restaurant used to look like.
Okay, yeah. Mm. The weird ones.
Very mid-century, like everyone should be wearing roller skates.
Mid-century modern.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I found out there's actually a name for that kind of architecture, that sort of space age retro kind of thing. It's called Googie architecture.
Googie?
Googie.
Oh, yeah, I like this word.
Well, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either until I was reading about this.
Cool. Like something they dreamed up at the advertising firm in Bewitched. Like, probably. Yeah. McMahon and Tate.
That's McMahon and Tate. Darren?
Well done. Yes. Well done. So he built the arches into the structure, and when you looked at it side on, it became an M. So very clever. Right.
Perspective.
Yeah, for someone who wasn't an architect, Dick McDonald did really well.
That was a great tidbit.
At the risk of going down rabbit holes, is it tidbit or titbit?
It's tid.
Because there is both.
Yeah, I've said titbit.
It's tidbit.
It's both.
It's not.
Apparently.
It's
I
not.
I think more in America they say titbit.
That's because they run around butt naked. They're going to nip it in the butt. Yeah, see? Wrong. We've already been through this. Well, Greens.
Considering this fact, I think titbit is probably relevant.
Yes. Yes, that's why I said it. Okay, right. Okay, no, that's why
well
I said
ahead
it.
Of me. Okay, you're well
yes.
ahead of me.
Yes.
Oh,
right.
Boy.
Oh,
okay.
Jesus.
I was with you there.
All right, so in 1962, McDonald's stopped using that architecture design.
Yeah.
So they stopped putting the arches into the actual restaurant itself. Yeah. But they started to look for a new logo. That's something that sort of incorporated the arches. So they hired the design consultant and psychologist, Louis Cheskin, to advise on the redesign.
Right.
Because they know that psychology is a really big part of the restaurant. You know, they need to attract people from the
Rouge.
What
year was this?
62.
Right.
And Cheskin. Also the kids as well, right? So he looked at it and he sort of summed things up and he said, you know what? The arches are actually really good. And I'll tell you why. He said, for Freudian reasons, it's a very Freudian kind of thing. And he argued that the golden arches symbolise Mother McDonald's breasts.
Oh, good Lord. And he got money for that.
Before you'd get dirty, he said, it's about the idea of...
I'm not getting dirty. I'm just saying that man got paid
to say
that.
It's very, breast-shaped.
Jesus.
Hey, look, you can use Freud to justify pretty much anything, right?
Yeah. Just look at Game of Thrones.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, he thought it was the idea of maternal love. The golden arches are meant to feel comforting to the outside world, where customers
really?
Can share a comforting meal.
Sure. But really what he meant was norks.
So that's what he came up with, that logo.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's even more Freudian, really. Look at
that. That one, it's actually shocking.
Look at that great big penis going through the middle of them.
Is that a penis? It looks like a...
Well, that's what I see.
It looks like a...
A dick.
No, it doesn't. It does not look like... Which one are you looking at?
It looks like an arrow piercing those two heaving bosoms.
Oh, right. Okay.
You see it now, don't you?
Now that you've said it that way.
Or it looks like a really, like, complicated exit on a freeway system.
Yeah, California.
No, it
yeah.
looks like a big seesaw.
I can see that.
Yeah, it looks like a seesaw. I don't go the dirty road. Not every time.
Sometimes you take the high road.
Sometimes.
No, not every time. Usually just once a week, really.
Stop it.
So, of course, the golden arches have evolved since then. They're pretty much the same around the world, everywhere you go, with a few exceptions, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I think you might know one, Sweaty.
I do know one because I think it's really interesting. In Sedona, Arizona, USA, they actually have turquoise arches.
Why?
Well, that's why I think it's so interesting, because it's right in the middle of this area that is really old geographically, and they have this really, really red dirt. So city council had some laws passed for building an architecture where signage and buildings cannot clash with the natural landscape. So instead of making it yellow, which would clash with this red, it's this really, is it teal? Is it turquoise?
Oh, it's quite beautiful.
It's like in between blue and green. It's really nice with that red dirt.
Turquoise.
Let's say teal.
Teal.
Yeah. It's not cerise. It's not cerulean. It's definitely teal.
No, it's not cerulean at all. It's turquoise.
It's turquoise.
And then some McDonald's only have one arch.
Could be aqua.
Like this one in
aquamarine.
This one in Montrose, Colorado only has one arch.
So what the heck?
That's weird.
Why?
I'm not sure. Yeah. And then you got some, like in North Scottsdale, Arizona, have black arches.
Well, another Arizona.
Mm.
Why is Arizona? It's like that McDonald's.
And it doesn't look like a normal restaurant.
No.
No, it's meant to look really upmarket. That's the whole idea.
Mm.
Yeah.
Far out.
And then the one in Rockland, California has dark red arches.
Oh.
Yeah, that just looks like a shopping center.
Is there a reason for that?
It does look like a shopping center, doesn't it?
Yeah. That's a really big
McDonald's. Is there a reason for the red arches?
I think they were trying to have like a more muted kind of
palette.
Palette, yeah. That's
well, it. I mean, the outside of the building is at that particular color. And yellow wouldn't have looked good on that.
Yellow would have been lost in it,
no.
Wouldn't it? Because the building's
yellow. Because they're not independent signage. It's on the side of a building. That's the other thing. Mm. Yellow on the side of a building doesn't pop. Yellow in the middle of the sky when you're driving past it against blue would pop.
Yeah, it does.
That's true. That's true. And then the McDonald's on the Champs-Élysées has white arches.
Oh,
wow.
Because it's a bit classy.
Yeah, I've been to the Champs-Élysées, but I don't remember seeing Mickey D's there.
I'm going to go to Mickey
neither.
D's.
No.
I'm going to go to Mickey D's
I'm going very soon, actually, since we finished here.
Oh, Mickey D's, not the Champs-Élysées.
This is fan-fucking-tastic.
Right, right.
I just love that there are facts like this in the world.
Okay.
Are you ready?
I'm
are you sitting
stoked.
Down?
I'm okay. I'm sitting down.
There is a Black Sabbath tribute band who dress up as McDonald's characters and sing about McDonald's food.
Oh,
and they are called Mac Sabbath. You're all welcome.
Oh, my gosh. That's beautiful.
It's just
that
great.
Mac Sabbath.
And Craig's going to provide a link so you can watch it.
Actually, let's just really quickly watch it. We'll just have a quick listen.
Much for that. I feel so enriched now.
Isn't it just totally fascinating, though?
That is fascinating.
So,
do they make money from that?
Yes, they
well,
do.
Well, they it's like a full time gig. All their costumes, lyrics, and images, for the most part, focus on fast food. You're giving me the eyes
how
of judgment
they,
right
how
now.
How does McDonald's not sue them for that?
Don't know. How do they get away with it?
How do they get away with it?
They perform faithful covers of Black Sabbath songs with new lyrics focused on fast food. The band's repertoire includes songs like Pair of Buns, which is a send up a paranoid, Frying Pan, Sweet Beef, Never Say Diet, and Zipping Up the Uniform. Yeah.
Oh,
they don't. Technically, they don't promote McDonald's. I would say that their, you know, lyrics in existence are a critique of consumerism.
So that's probably why they can get away with it, because it's a legitimate critique.
It's an appropriation.
Yeah.
Right?
Almost like a parody. They're not...
Yeah.
You know,
oh, it's a parody.
Yeah.
But they're definitely appropriating the visual concepts of the characters, but then completely recontextualizing how we see it and understand it.
Well, the vocalist is Ronald Osborne.
They do it.
Very postmodern.
Yeah, it's absolutely postmodern. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's one of the frames that I'm looking through. Yeah, yes, postmodernism, yeah. Beautiful. I love that.
If only that singing was post-verbal.
Yeah. It's definitely not.
But the vocalist is Ronald Osborne, guitarist Slayer McCheese, bassist Grim Alice.
Oh.
And drummer The Cat Burglar, a.k.a. Peter Chris Cut Fries. Oh, Peter Chris was in Kiss.
That's where that comes from.
They're all anonymous and only speak through their manager, Mike Odd.
Oh, I get that now that you say it out loud. My God.
Mike Odd. My God.
Oh, yeah. Mike Odd.
Yeah. Like in the 90s, there was a movie called Tu Wong Fu, and RuPaul has a guest spot in it as a drag queen called Rachel Tension. You get it? Racial Tension.
Tu Wong Fu, isn't that like thanks for the memories or something?
Tu Wong Fu, thanks for everything, Julie Newmar.
That's
anyway, sometimes those puns, though, don't become obvious until you say them a certain way or say it out loud. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Osborne claims he comes from an enchanted forest in the 1970s where hamburgers grow on trees and travelled through the time-space continuum to warn the general public about government control in food.
It's like the Nexus, but on drugs.
Yeah. Really? Australia's Faster Louder boldly proclaimed them the best fast food-themed Black Sabbath tribute band
ever. Well, smashing it.
That is high praise.
They just smashed all the other ones out of the water. There was no one else in
there. They have swept that category.
Suspiciously specific.
Yes.
Paste magazine commented succinctly, "The most impressive and terrifying thing about McSabbath is that they're actually really good."
Actually, well, like, words.
It was entertaining.
It was entertaining.
I mean, I was not skipping.
Yeah. It sounds like something the youth of today would get into.
In August 2018... McSabbath teased a photo on their social media accounts showing Black Sabbath singer Ozzy Osbourne posing with the band in an undisclosed location. The encounter was later covered in an article and video published by Rolling Stone in December where they revealed it to be part of an episode of Osbourne's reality show. Ozzy and Jack's World Detour, where Osbourne son Jack surprised his father with a private performance by McSabbath.
What are those Osbournes going to do when he dies? What are they going to do?
He's the cash cow, isn't he?
Yeah. Well, Sharon is now.
True. Oh. Kelly's moved on, I think.
Yeah.
Well, Ozzy liked them. Ozzy Osbourne liked them. He was mainly impressed by the clownery, but called the spoof fun and funny as fuck, adding, "If you can't stand to be parodied, don't fucking do it."
Yeah. Oh, he said that through an interpreter because no one can understand what he's saying.
And also in other news, Max Sabbath are touring Australia this November, everyone.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I love that fact.
Isn't it fantastic?
It is fantastic. Yeah. Permeate pop culture in so many different forms.
Ah, so that was beautiful. Oh,
Max Sabbath.
I've learned a lot about McDonald's today.
Did you know there's also such a thing as pirate metal?
It wouldn't surprise me.
No, I didn't know that. Should know it. It sounds like there's.
It is entertaining.
Happened. Yeah, there's a metal band that's composed entirely of Ned Flanders. It's called Oakley Dokley.
Wow.
Oh.
I believe that too. Ugh. Oakley Dokley.
And apparently they're really good too.
Well, that was super interesting.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
thank you. That
so
was
much.
Amazing.
Oh,
now I need to go and eat. So, any ideas?
McDonald's?
Not Kentucky Fried Chicken or a Pizza Hut? McDonald's. No.
Kentucky Fried Chicken and a Pizza Hut.
McDonald's chicken and a Pizza Hut.
Mash Donald. I want that bulgogi burger so bad.
If
I ever get to travel again, I'm going via Seoul in Korea, South Korea. Right, we have to go now because I want to eat.
Yeah, got to go. Sorry about that.
Okay, guys, you can send us your feedback, comments, episode suggestions, or favourite trivia via podcast@brainbubblegum.net, on Twitter @brainbubblegum, or you can find us on Facebook. If you like what we do, you can subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify. Please rate and review.
Smash that like button.
Smash it.
Yes. And finally, we do have a proper website as well, and we'll have all our references
like
up there
real people.
As well. And you can go to brainbubblegum.net.
That's it.
So thank you very much, guys.
Thank you, everybody. Thanks so much, guys.
Bye. Until next time.
Hasta luego.
Hasta la vista.
Hasta la próxima.
Hasta la McWago.
Hasta la pasta. McPasta. No. Oh, just see ya. Bye.
Ciao.